from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Insiders.
Hour number two, if you're listening on the podcast and that intro sounds weird, I am sorry. That's my fault. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors this show. We're hanging out with you until noon, and then at noon we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. Reminder, Sweet Night, ESPN 1320 Sweet Night out at Sutter Health Park is coming up on August 16th. You can't get into the suite with a normal ticket. The only way you can get into that suite is by winning a ticket.
Mm.
And we're giving away one ticket, well, two tickets for you and a friend.
Pair.
We're giving away a pair of tickets to one winner. Yeah. All this week and all of next week, we'll have a keyword for you. You enter it at ESPN1320.com. You go there, you find the contest page, you enter, and you can win two tickets to hang out in the suite with us on August 16th at the Rivercats game at Sutter Health Park. Keyword for today, catch. Just catch. That's your keyword.
There you go.
Go enter at ESPN1320.com, and hopefully we'll see you out there. Tickets available at Rivercats.com. Also, speaking of tickets available, just general tickets available.
Yeah.
August 3rd, that's this Saturday.
This Saturday.
We did not mention it at the top of the show.
No.
That's my bad. You're throwing out the first pitch of the Rivercats game.
Yeah, 6:37 start.
Get there about 6:20 to make sure you're in your seat for first pitch.
Gonna go out there, throw straight gas.
Can't wait. Is Ched?
I don't know.
A four-seam fastball?
We'll see, yeah.
And have you decided if you're gonna go from the mound or not, or is that gonna be a game-time decision?
Probably be a game-time decision.
Yeah,
I don't
smart.
Know. I haven't thrown off a mound.
Yeah, if you don't, I'm really glad that I had a park by my house that has a mound.
Yeah.
That I was able to throw off of a handful of times before going out there.
Maybe I could go over to the high school and throw off the mound a couple of times.
Yeah, get the sensation down for sure.
Of the falling forward?
Yes.
Oh.
But the mound you're going to throw off at that high school is going to be lower.
Oh, yeah.
Than the one at Sutter Health Park.
Okay.
Just a heads up. But it's good to get that sensation. Just so that way, the key is just to not throw it to the backstop and don't bounce it.
Okay.
That's all.
I don't want to hit somebody. That's always my fear.
You'll be
fine. You just uncork one and then someone's walking by and just...
No, bonk. So the way it was for me, there was Brett Auerbach, again, salute to him for coming out and braving the first pitch. It was him behind the plate. It was Dinger, the mascot, behind him. And then there's a social media person who is standing there in the back corner of the batter's box.
Yep.
That gives you some perspective on where you should be aiming.
Okay.
You're going to be fine. It's going to be great. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to be there.
That's fine.
I'm not driving up just to go, but I will be catching any video.
Okay.
That goes out.
Yeah, I have to figure all of that out because I don't have access to accounts and all that stuff. Like whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get you squared away on that. All that's easy work. We won't hash that out on air. I want to get to the NFL top 100, but before we do that, I got an email in my inbox yesterday.
Oh.
Not to brag. My inbox currently, by the way, James is probably well up over 75,000 unread emails. Oh, nice. I have 69 unread emails right now. But that's just because I haven't done the whole, there's my...
I'm at 75,000.
That is outrageous.
95
that's just insane.
Unread emails.
That's totally insane. I hate it so much. I just have to go through and just delete. I've opened all the ones I need to read. I just need to go through and do the swiping to delete them. But anyways, it doesn't matter. I got an email in my inbox that is your 2024-2025 sixth man of the year odds.
Oh.
Yes. Where are they at? I just had them. They went away. There it is. Okay. I'm going to do the top several here. Okay, here we go. At 16-1, all of these players are 16-1, which means your $100 bet on one of these players, if they win, wins you $1,600.
Mm.
We have Russell Westbrook, Norman Powell, Josh Hart, Jaime Jaquez, Dante DiVincenzo, Chris Paul, Buddy Hield, Bobby Portis, and Alex Caruso.
Wow.
Those guys are all 16-1.
That's a lot of players I think are going to actually start.
I am right there with you.
Yeah.
I don't think I would bet on any of those guys. I think if I had to bet on one...
Bobby Portis.
Portis is it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the move.
Yeah.
Because I could see Bobby Portis' path being he's really good off the bench, but then he gets the Nas Reed treatment and gets to start for 3 weeks and is really good in those... Mm. In those weeks, I could see him taking the Nas Reed path. Speaking of Nas Reed, he's coming up shortly. Two players at 12-1. Jordan Clarkson.
Okay.
Caris LeVert.
Ooh, that's random.
I kind of want to bet on that just so I can root for Caris LeVert.
Okay.
Just irrational Caris LeVert guy. Couldn't tell you why.
Okay.
No idea. I think it's because when I watch him, he's just kind of a bucket. And that's a fun thing. 12-1 on those guys. At 7-1, ladies and gentlemen, this is not your leader. This is the number two favorite at 7-1. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the one, the only, Nas Reed. Nas Reed going off at 7-1, which means Malik Monk is the favorite to win Sixth Man of the Year in the 2024-2025 NBA season, according to betonline.ag.
He should have won it last year.
That's like, probably why he's the favorite this year. Like everybody knows what time it is.
He probably should have won it the year before that. Yeah. Like Malik Monk deserved to win Sixth Man of the Year last year. I don't really get, like, he misses, what, 9 games?
Mm-hmm.
And in those 9 games, Nas Reed starts for Minnesota and like pad stats and still doesn't have the stats that Malik Monk had. I really like Nas Reed. I wish the Kings had Nas Reed on their roster,
mm-hmm.
but Malik Monk was a better sixth man than Nas Reed.
Yeah, bro. It was just, I don't have anything to add. He should have won the award because like you said, he was in the mix 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make the argument that he should have won it 2 years ago, but he didn't. But again, sometimes that's how it works. Sometimes you got to get on the map, and then the next year, if you stay on the map, then it's your time. That's what he did. He did the thing. But hey, Nas Reed, there were internet memes about him. So Nas Reed,
yeah. Like I
don't have it in me to be outraged anymore. I don't. I'm sorry. But Malik Monk, the favorite. But the question I have is, are we certain he's going to be a sixth man?
No.
That's, I think, what would deter me from betting on him.
I think that there's a very good chance, though, that he is. You know what would deter me is that the Kings just added a guy who averages 24 points a game.
Ooh,
and you expect Keegan Murray to take another step, and you expect Kevin Huerter to bounce back at least somewhat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of these things that you kind of expect. You expect both De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis to do similar things to what mm-hmm. they did last year. So it's going to be really difficult for all of those things to happen mm-hmm. at one time.
Yeah.
So how do you have a guy who doubled up what your small forward from last year was averaging in Harrison Barnes in DeMar DeRozan? And I don't know if DeMar DeRozan's going to average 24, but probably going to put him at 20 mm-hmm. at a minimum.
I would be shocked if he averages less than 20.
Yeah, so like where are those 8 points coming from? You're not just going to score 8 more points per game.
Well, maybe.
I mean, I
never ruling it out.
I could see De'Aaron Fox strike dropping to 25 points a game. I could see. Mm-hmm.
I could also
Sabonis.
See De'Aaron jumping to 30.
Yeah, yeah. I could also see Keegan Murray going from 15 to 18 points per game. Mm-hmm. So all of these points have to come from somewhere.
That's a really good point.
Typically, they come from a volume score that you have somewhere else on the team, and that's why I think even like walking into the season with Kevin Huerter, it's a little bit of a dangerous game
mm-hmm.
because there's a possibility that he loses value because there's just not shots. You know, we can think about like whether he hits shots or not and, mm-hmm. you know, what is his position going to be and all that stuff. We can like have those conversations. But at the end of the day, you're looking at other players that have been added or that have mm-hmm. the potential to shoot way more attempts per mm-hmm. game this season. And that will take away from the possibility of a guy like Trey Lyles or a guy like Keon Ellis having, 10 shots per game. That's just not going to happen.
And I think this is what you're saying. It's not that, like you said, whether he's hitting shots or not, him being Kevin Huerter matters less for his trade value than if he's just not playing and
yeah.
the Kings try and deal him, teams are going to be like, no, he's not even playing for you. Like, we'll take him, but we're not going to give you anything valuable. He's not, like, he's riding your bench.
Well, I mean, it's possible that Kevin Huerter can hit 40% from three and only average 8 points a game because he's playing fewer minutes.
That's crazy.
Well, no, but I mean, that's legitimately a possibility.
1,000%.
And, you know, again, you can only have so many expectations. Like, there's one ball,
mm-hmm.
and you just added a guy who last season shot a whole bunch mm-hmm. of shot attempts per game, and he's replacing a guy that everyone in Sacramento was wondering why he shot, why is Harrison Barnes only shooting 9 times per game?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be wondering that with DeMar DeRozan because DeMar DeRozan is not going to shoot 9 times per game.
Yeah.
It's just straight up. Last season, he shot 17.2 attempts per game.
So he's going to shoot 9 times per half.
Yeah, you're looking at a guy who basically has 8 more shots. So where are those 8 shots coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difficult thing. Like, it's not just 8 shots, it's 8 shots and then 7.7 free throw attempts per game.
I think Ramsey hit the nail on the head. I think Domas is where those shots are coming from.
But maybe one, because I don't think Domas forces a bunch of stuff anyways. I mean, a guy shoots 60% from the field or really close to it. So, I mean, I get that, but I don't think Domantas Sabonis is dropping to 15 points per game.
He only shoots it 13 times.
Yeah, yeah. And the year before, he shot 11.9 times per game.
And how many of those are just, like you said, rebound and putbacks?
Yeah.
How many of those are little pocket passes on pick and rolls?
Pick and rolls. I don't think that's where you're losing your shot attempts.
Here's what's funny is I think if Malik Monk starts, I wrote this down in the rundown. I said if it's not Malik Monk, who would be the Kings' sixth man? It is probably Keon at that point, right?
Keon or Kevin?
Keon Ellis or Kevin Huerter?
Or Trey.
Or Trey Lyles, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think any of those players are winning sixth man of the year.
No.
A, because they don't have the game to do it. They don't have the play style. Their play style is not conducive to going and winning that award.
Yeah.
Like that award is going to go to a player who's just going to come off the bench and just be the dude on offense.
Yeah, he's going to be the dude who's also going to have like assists and mm-hmm. set up teammates and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So they can capably come off the bench and be good. I just think if it's Malik Monk starting where somebody else is the sixth man, that's going to come with rotations where that sixth man is put in the game to do something very specific that is not scoring or assisting. It's either going to be something defensively that they want to do, or it's going to be Kevin Huerter who is catch and shoot, dribble handoff guy. They're not going to run the offense through whoever's coming in. So I wrote down who would be the sixth man and can they be a contender for the sixth man of the year award? And it's definitely no.
Just no,
now that I've thought about it.
I don't think so. Unless like Kevin Herter really, really just took it to heart and said, I'm going to be an exceptional sixth man. And but the problem is he's still going to need somebody to set screens for him. He's still, you know, all of those things that Kevin Herter are so good at, you're still going to want him on the court with Domantas Sabonis a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to want him on the court with DeMar DeRozan a bunch just because of his ability to space the floor. But that doesn't mean, again, like that Kevin Herter is going to get the same amount of shot attempts that he had last season. That it's one of he's one of the guys that's probably going to lose shot attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And
he only shot 9 times a game last year.
Yeah, he dropped from 11.5 to 8.8.
Oof. Maybe that's how you get Kevin Herter back. Maybe you start him.
Mm.
You do the opposite of what you did last year.
Okay.
Where last year, Mike Brown in the preseason went, hey, before this preseason game, Kev, you're going to sit. Chris Duarte is going to start, and we're going to see what happens. Kevin Herter didn't take well to that. I wouldn't either. I totally get it. And I am of the belief that that had an impact on how he played last season. Just got off on the wrong foot. Just kind of a weird year all around.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can reverse it. Now you just go, hey, Kev, you're starting, man. You're the guy for us. Malik's going to come off the bench. You're going to go out there. You're going to get all these open shots because people are worried about DeMar DeRozan and they're worried about De'Aaron Fox and they got to figure out Domantas Sabonis and Keegan's going to be out there. You're going to hang out. You're going to get all these shots. Maybe that's what they got to do. Maybe that's how you get Kevin Herter back.
I guess. Like, there's got to be a way, but that's also
I
why
wouldn't do that,
we talk about, like, balancing everything. This isn't going to be easy to balance.
So tough, dude.
And so I don't know how it's going to work, but, you know, you need to see it functionally. You need to see it working.
This falls in the good problem to have category, to be totally clear. I don't think anyone's crying for Mike Brown that he has to figure out how to play good players.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that I think we're going to talk about all year. This whole six man and who's starting and who's not and what's the rotation look like, I think that's going to be a conversation throughout the season.
Yeah, and I'd also, like, the 49ers, right? Let's just look at the 49ers for a sec. Like, they just used a first-round pick on Ricky Pearsall, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might not catch 40 balls this season. He might not catch 25. Like, Juwan Jennings is still a really good wide receiver, but you still have Debo, and you still have Ayuk, and you still have Christian McCaffrey who catches a bunch of balls, and you still have George Kittle who catches balls. Like, there's all of these other players that actually catch the ball outside of. So, like, there's only so much opportunity, especially for a team that's running. But I think that it's going to be difficult for anyone to step in on the Kings and just have, like, this monstrous breakout season. And I would say the same thing for Keegan. I mean, we always talk about, like, we need to see Keegan Murray be more aggressive. We need to see Keegan do this and this. Like, okay, you didn't clear out shot attempts for Keegan Murray in the offseason. You added more shot attempts for somebody else. And so it's going to be a question of, like, how do you put all these things, how do you put it all together?
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I mean, I think all of us, like, 14, 15 shot attempts for Keegan Murray next year. I'm looking at the 12.7 he had last year, and I'm thinking it's going to be really difficult for him to have 12.7 shot attempts again this year.
Yeah.
So.
Unless they just get out and run.
Yeah, just run,
just,
baby.
Just going to have a pace of 119.
There it is.
Just be the Wizards.
Yeah. Have the all-time highest rated offense yet again at, like, 130
I gotta,
point something.
I got to tell you, I have no idea how this is going to work. I don't know if the Kings have enough depth on their bench to be a top 3 or 4 team. I have no idea. But it is going to be fascinating. I think last year it felt kind of stale by Christmas, where we just knew, okay, we kind of know what this is. I don't think it's ever going to feel stale at any point this year. I think there's so many different ways they can mix and match. And if they start slow, they have different pitches they can throw and they have different things they can try.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of give and take early in the season.
Yeah, for sure.
I do. I think that there's going to be a lot of figuring out time. And again, Mike Brown has to figure out not just, like, five-man rotation, not the 8-9 man rotation. He's got to figure out like 2- and 3-man rotations. What works together?
Mm-hmm.
How do you find the player that, that Malik Monk needs as a pick and roll partner? How do you find a player that that works with DeMar DeRozan? Like, there's all mm-hmm. of these little combos you're going to have to be figuring out at all times. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be a really, really interesting experiment.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to get to the 49ers, but we were discussing this yesterday, and it's something that I don't want to forget about again. So we'll hit it now. We'll do Niners coming up in a bit. But we're talking about urgency a little bit with the Kings yesterday and talking about trade deadlines,
because
the Major League Baseball trade deadline was a couple of days ago. The Giants mostly stood pat, made some more minor moves. Same thing with the A's, but it felt very different the way the two with the two front offices. With the Giants, it felt like not reading the room. With the A's, it felt like they did read the room and went, hey, we're kind of riding a wave here. We're just going to keep this core group together and see what happens. Whereas the Giants did not try and make that leap. And we talked about the Kings and how their last two trade deadlines felt kind of the same. Do you feel like this offseason, because now urgency is what comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about after the Kings play and loss this year, it's like, okay, well, now the urgency ramps up. Because now this group, and again, we talked about this with the Chatty House amongst ourselves, with people listening on ESPN 1320. Thanks, everybody listening on the radio. The issue with the Kings through last year was, hey, they gotta do something different now. Like, we've seen, they've maxed out whatever this group is.
Yep.
And now there has to be more urgency to it. This whole, oh, gonna wait and see, gotta wait for the, it's all right, I get the patience, but also you gotta pull the trigger at some point. Do you think they struck the right chord with of urgency this offseason?
I think so. I mean, when you add a DeMar DeRozan, it turns up the volume, because
Definitely. You
only have DeMar under contract like fully for 2 years. And you might keep him all 3 years here, but we're talking about 35, 36, and 37. Mm-hmm. And so you created your own window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't a window. So, I mean, the window on this team was like 8 years. Or 7 years, probably. Maybe it's five and a half years, right? When you're looking at Domantas Sabonis' age, when you're looking at he's 27, Fox at 26, you know, Keegan's 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
You have this window, right? You just took that window and you closed it down a bunch, where you added an ingredient that is really high end and really cool, but it's also on a time limit, right? He is getting older as a player. So I think the urgency should be there, that like, if you feel comfortable with the team that you have right now, did you do enough is going to be the question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would say, I still think that there's a possibility of another move. And I've changed my mind on like what that other move might need to be. We just went through like all of these players that the Kings could potentially, like all of the shots, right? Who's going to get what shots? And that's where I kind of feel like you can probably look at a different type of player than you needed to before when you added a player like DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
So I could see, like, I would value maybe Cam Johnson more today than I did before, as just like an elite 3-point shooting wing that doesn't require a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he averaged 10 shot attempts per game last year with Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd be lucky to get that in Sacramento. Like, maybe.
Not on a night-in-night-out basis.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he's a starting forward alongside Keegan Murray and you move DeMar DeRozan to the backcourt, then maybe there's a possibility for that, right? That he's just as a catch-and-shoot guy and maybe gets out in transition here and there, maybe gets a rebound and a put back here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be the fifth option on offense, where I still, like, if you were to go out and get Kyle Kuzma is going to want to be like a third, fourth option.
Yeah, he's hoisting it. He's shooting it.
Yeah, but now you're running into this problem of, like, how many guys do you have that are that guy?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a possibility that you have too many of them. And so it does change, even like what's his name? Dorian Finney-Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Dorian Finney-Smith. I think first of all, his contract's a little high for what he brings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a little older and he's not nearly as big as you think he is. Like, I think 6'6".
More of a 6'6" guy than a 6'9" guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he can play defense for sure, and he plays bigger than his height, But you still run into the fact that, like, would he make more sense than going out and getting a Brandon Ingram that you're going to have to pay $35 to $40 million a year, or a Kyle Kuzma who's going to want X, Y, and Z?
Sure.
Like, so maybe you do look at the sort of the team build a little bit different, but I still think that the sense of urgency looked like it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, I would feel a little bit different about this team if I thought Devin Carter was going to play.
Interesting.
Because Devin Carter is a guy who is going to play elite defense. He showed that. The transition to the pros is going to be a little rough, but catch and shoot player, a guy who can do a little bit of everything, but it would have added an extra body that I think would have allowed you to play, like, you know, sure, again, more DeRozan at the three, more Kevin Herter at the three. Mm-hmm. Now you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to play those guys at the two a lot more than I expected.
Yeah.
So just kind of interesting, like, the build. And I think that Devin Carter, like, his absence is actually going to make a bit of a difference.
I'll tell you what, you said the window closed. You said they closed their window and they had this wide open. I feel like they threw their window open. Like, the clock is ticking now.
Okay.
Maybe you were talking about a different window. Championship contention.
Like, I think that there was, like, a wide open window, like, you could have, like, over the next 5-6 years, but you just shrunk that window down to, like, a 3-year period where...
I think they were going to have to do at some point, though.
No, I agree. And I don't think they did anything wrong with that. And I also think that as DeMar DeRozan rises, Keegan Murray, you know, as DeMar DeRozan falls, Keegan Murray rises.
Yeah, you definitely hope so. I just hope they maintain this because, like I said, the clock's starting now. And I need them to kind of maintain.
Yeah, it's go time.
Yeah, it's not wait and see anymore.
Nope.
At 35-year-old DeMar DeRozan, it's time to go. All right. It's also time to go on this radio program to break. So we're going to do that. NFL Top 100 is out. Where do the 49ers rank? Do the Raiders have anybody in the top 100 list? We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Voice guy, wake up. I need you to intro us. Are you there? Okay, you ready? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start potting it down now. Okay, go ahead.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Nailed it as always, voice guy.
I'm a dog.
I know you are. You did so good.
I think I take down 3 glizzies.
Oh, I don't need to know that. Didn't need to know that at all. You can just let us know that's James and I'm Kyle and Jiffy Lube's response. We don't need to know anything else about how many glizzies you could take down.
That's just the truth, dog.
I know it is, but you don't need to tell us.
Standing on business.
I know you are. Okay. All right.
It's a complete crap.
Kyle's working all the buttons.
He's
over
having
there.
A good time.
There you go.
I'm having a really good time with this.
Risk-free investment.
I don't even remember what that's from.
I don't either.
Oh, that was Reese Davis talking about betting.
Oh.
And he basically, I think it was one whoever the betting person was on ESPN. Is it Dolan? Aaron Dolan? Is that her name?
I can't remember.
But whoever the betting person was he was talking to, she said, I love the over or whatever. And he's like, think about this as a risk-free investment. It's like, nope.
Nope.
That's not what you're supposed to say.
No. That's a big negativo. Oh, I'm on demon time.
Okay. We're done now. The NFL Top 100 is out. And I don't want... Okay, look. So the NFL Top 100, every year comes out, and it's voted on by players. It is not the end-all, be-all list of the top 100 NFL players in the league. There are always weird things about the list. There are things that get right. There are things that get wrong. This is not to say that this is the definitive list or whatever. I do think, though, that it's interesting that this is where players land in the opinions of their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these guys play against these guys. They watch a ton of film. They know. I get it. But also, I'm guessing there's a bunch of players that don't watch a lot of football outside of when they're playing it.
Yeah.
Or watching film. Guessing a bunch of guys get forgotten about because you're handed a list and you say, hey, you write down your top 20. It might be 10 or 15, but I think it's top 20. You write down a list of players and then they calculate the scores in some way and they create a top 100. So 49ers and Raiders on the list. Here we go. The first of those teams to pop up on the list is number 76. It's Dre Greenlaw. The number 76 player for the 2024 season.
I mean, is this because of the injury? Because it feels like that's low.
I think it's about right, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, being in the top 100, having two off-ball linebackers in the top 100 is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
76 probably feels about right, but Dre Greenlaw is kind of an underrated storyline for the 49ers because he tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he's going to miss the first half of the season or so as he recovers. He's on the final year of his contract. And it's TBD on what he's going to look like post-Achilles tear. A big part of his game was explosiveness and being able to play bigger than his size and the ability to cover effectively anybody on offense for the time he needed to cover them. It's going to be really interesting to see if he's still able to do that. And if he's not, if the 49ers just punt him and say, go in free agency, or if they decide to re-sign him and change his role a little bit. I have no idea. But Dre Greenlaw, number 76. Good for him. I'm glad he got recognition.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's great. I love watching him. He hits everybody, and he's always like at top speed. You're like, look, there he goes. Oh, no. He's going to hit somebody.
Even if it's
like a coach on the sideline, the guy holding the flag stick,
yep,
whatever, he's going to hit somebody on this play.
Yep.
He plays with a reckless abandon that I think you have to love.
I think there's going to be an adjustment for the 49ers defense without Dre Greenlaw And I think it might have a real impact if they can't adequately replace him. The next 49er Raider on the NFL Top 100 again. This is as voted on by NFL players, and the list is produced by NFL Network. At number 66, wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. I know they won't, but if you're the 49ers, you're taking this into negotiations and being like, look, dog, you're at 66. Spoiler alert, you're 26 spots behind Devontae Adams.
Okay.
They won't do that.
No.
It'd be funny if they did.
No, but my response would be back to them. Okay, how many teams are there in the NFL? So I'm like, I'm like the second best player on a couple of teams. I might be the third best player on, I don't know, all of the teams in the league.
Yeah.
How about that? That would be my response. Yeah, you know what that means. I'm 66. Yeah, there's what, 32 teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there I am, right there.
More on this coming up in a bit. By the way, did you see the video of Brandon Ayuk with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch yesterday?
Kyle, we're reading so much in all of this.
Dude, so much. So, the SF Niners Twitter account, Brad Graham is the guy who runs it. Brad was at training camp yesterday. And so it's from the stands. So it's a little bit like, it's a little far away. But Brandon Ayuk walks onto the field in street clothes. He daps up John Lynch, but not like a handshake. Like, it's a dap. It's a vigorous dap. And it looks like big smiles on both faces. Then Kyle Shanahan beelines it over to Brandon Ayuk. Big dap, bro hug, mean mugs, shoulder shrugs, big smile from Kyle Shanahan. And again, TBD on what this means. This might be how they always greet each other. They might have had a funny joke that somebody said, and that's why everybody was smiling.
They might even have like a secret handshake that we just don't know about.
Thank you. They might have a secret handshake.
This might have been part of a secret handshake.
They might be frustrated to the point of being like, hey, we're just going to laugh about this now. I guess we'll never get you out here, Brandon. Like that might also be on the table.
It could be, yeah, and they're just like, hey, look, he just keeps showing up even though he's not going to play for that contract and we know it. And now it makes us look bad, and he looks bad. So we're not going to look bad. We're going to go over there and smile and have a good time with this,
dude. But I'll tell you what. You said people are overreacting to this.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece at NinersWire.com, not to brag. It is less than 24 hours old, and it's did 49ers wide receiver hint that contract negotiation ended? ? And it is my most read thing over the last week, and it got published about 20 hours ago. Like, that's what everybody wants to overanalyze a video. So that's what I did. Like, you got it, guys.
Yeah.
You want to see? Here we go. What do you think? I think a deal is probably coming sooner than later. I walked away from that video thinking that was those handshakes were preliminary deal done, still hammering out the minutiae of the contract. But Brandon Ayuk's going to be returning relatively soon. Yeah. That's why I took it. But.
Can I read you like one of the most humble brags of all time?
Yeah, I love this.
This is
Please, I'm so excited. I love a humble brag.
From the Twitter box, Irvin Magic Johnson.
Oh, God.
Me, Cookie, and everyone on the yacht were cheering on the USA women's gymnastic team today's all around. I lost it. All-around final. The GOAT of gymnastics has done it again. Congratulations to Simone Biles for an electrifying floor performance and adding another Olympic gold medal to her collection.
On the yacht.
Sorry, now I have to do a cannonball off my yacht in celebration.
I got
to
tell you that. You know what? That's not even a humble brag. That's just a brag.
Good for you.
I would do the same thing. If I'm ever at the point in life where I can have a yacht, I would never, you know those, have you, you're not as terminally online as I am. There are this meme format going around online that says, if I win the lottery, I won't announce it, but there will be signs and it'll be, you know, some extravagant thing.
Yeah.
And people have now turned it into a joke. That would be me. I wouldn't stop doing my job, but if they announce that there's a lottery winner, and I wouldn't stop doing my job because I like this job very much, but I would just buy a house closer. If they announced a lottery winner and they didn't announce a name, but then all of a sudden I'm off the radio for 2 weeks and I'm posting photos from a yacht off the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sign.
Okay.
That's the sign that it was me.
The Amalfi Coast is beautiful, just so you know, Kyle.
This guy. The next 49er Raider on the NFL Top 100 comes in at number 58. It is defensive lineman Christian Wilkins, former Miami Dolphin. The Raiders signed him this offseason. Loved the addition for the Raiders. You had people whining about it being an overpay, but man, you put him in the middle of that defensive line with Max Crosby. More on Max Crosby coming up in a bit.
Yep.
Malcolm Kuntz, I think that's going to be a really, really good defense. I like Christian Wilkins a lot. I think 58 is probably about right.
I love that the Raiders have built their team sort of in the, like, the sort of look of their head coach.
Yeah.
Like, the feel of their head coach.
Good vibes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to have a defensive-minded head coach, and he's going to come out there and, like, be a rah-rah in-your-face guy, I love that they've added players like this. Yep. See, this is going to be a really fun defense.
There's a theory that your defensive coach has to either be old, bald, or buff. You can't just be a you can't just be a rando dude. Looking guy.
Okay,
being a defensive coach, Kyle Shanahan could not be a defensive coach.
Oh,
would be a terrible defensive coach just based on his look. The next player on the list is actually another Raider, Devontae Adams, number 40.
Oh,
And then we'll rip through this before we get to the handoff with Kenny Caraway. Debo Samuel lands at number 30.
Oh?
That would be my argument back if you're the 49ers. And Brandon Ayuk says, I'm one of the top 100 players in the league. And they go, well, Debo Samuel's making this, and he's 36 spots ahead of you. Again, they're not going to actually use this list.
No.
But that would be the argument. Brock Purdy debuts at number 28 on the list.
Oh?
Nick Bosa right in front of him at number 27.
Okay.
Then it's George Kittle, 14. Fred Warner, 11. I'm imagining Max Crosby, Christian McCaffrey, and Trent Williams will all be in the top 10 of the NFL top 100.
Do you think
that's
McCaffrey
today? I think
McCaffrey will be number one.
No, Mahomes will be number one.
Okay, because I did see another list, and McCaffrey's on top of that list, which is I don't know. To me,
what list
was
that?
I can't remember. I'll go back and find it.
Yeah, I don't think McCaffrey will be number one. I could see him being like top three though.
Okay,
that wouldn't shock me. Kenny Caraway's here for the handoff. Kenny, have you followed the NFL Top 100 list at all?
Vaguely. I did peep that Debo situation. Debo's like, he's an interesting player in a number of different ways, right? Like, because I don't know if you've heard me say before, when this whole Ayuk thing was going down, I want Brandon Ayuk to stay. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great wide receiver.
Did you see the video yesterday?
Huh?
Did you see the video yesterday?
I did. We're going to
take anything away from it? Nah, save it for your show.
Okay.
It's coming up.
Yeah. but I said, I think Brandon Ayuk is more easily replaceable than Debo Samuel. And I don't know if that means I think he's better or what or anything else like that. But Brandon Ayuk.
Unique.
Huh?
He's just not as unique.
Yeah, I think Debo's a better playmaker. Like a game-changing playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about somebody that can run around, get open, do all that other stuff, that's Brandon Ayuk. No disrespect. And maybe this is just people don't agree with it. I think you can find people like that all the time. I think you can find good route runners and people that have an understanding of how to get open every draft. Yeah. I don't know if you can find Debo Samuels every draft.
You definitely
I know
can.
You can.
Teams have been trying.
Right. I know you can. And,
yeah.
And I don't know if that means you keep him over Ayuk. I don't know. That's a decision they've got to make. I just think that Debo is tougher to replicate and replace if you were to lose him than Brandon Ayuk.
I mean, it's hard to disagree with that, but I don't know that it makes you worse.
That's
like,
fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I think you have to have an Ayuk if you're going to be a run team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I don't know. I think you can find like types of wide receivers that are sort of like Debo, but just won't be as good. Mm. I mean, those guys have been around the league forever. Mm-hmm. Just maybe not guys who all of a sudden pop off and go for 1,500 yards 1 year and then kind of upset like the value of what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I mean, the guy can't stay. He's not a guy you can count on for 17 games a season.
No, he's going to miss 3 games a year.
At a minimum.
You know what I mean? It feels like. The other interesting thing about Debo, though, because you talk about the top 100 and he's
number 30.
He's what, 30 spots, more than 30 spots ahead of Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, 36 spots ahead of him.
I think, to me, I think people look at Debo, the players look at him.
Yes.
A lot different than Brandon Ayuk. I think, but here's where it gets even more complicated. I think corners look at him and they're like, he's not the greatest route runner.
Nope.
Like, I can cover him. Like, I can cover Debo.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, I think they all have the same consensus once he gets the ball in his hands. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, right, man. Once right. I can keep him getting the ball, but once he gets the ball, oh, no.
It's is trouble. Debo Samuel a system wide receiver? Let's talk about it.
But, yeah, I just find it interesting how he's viewed because I don't think anybody would say he's, you know, I don't think people would necessarily say he's a top 10 wide receiver, but he might be a top 10 wide receiver. He might be a top 7 or 5 wide receiver just because of his playmaking ability. And his numbers will never show up because his production and his injury history and stuff like that. But, he's just interesting. He's just interesting.
We were talking about this yesterday with the way players view their peers versus how fans view them.
Mm.
Kobe Bryant was the first player that this kind of hit me with because I was always in the camp of like, yeah, Kobe, but like you look at he has shot it so many times and he was a good passer, but he didn't like to pass. How good was he really? I was trying to be a Kobe truther. And then you talk to any NBA player who ever played against Kobe and you go like, hey, who's your top five? And like, well, Kobe.
Yeah,
it's just it's like, all right, I'm wrong. The guys, and so we talked about this yesterday. Like D'Angelo Russell is another one that I feel is like that. Where I look D'Angelo at D'Angelo Russell and I'm like, wouldn't want him on my team.
Yeah,
but then you hear the NBA players talk about him, they're like, he's a bucket.
He can go.
It's sort of it's generational though, and it's like, who did you grow up with? So I remember, like I've talked about this before, like I have quotes to write a big man book.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked Kevin Durant about, you know, how he's part of a change where all of a sudden a dude who's legitimately 7 foot plays on the perimeter, shoots a million jumpers. Mm-hmm. He's just a different type of big man than what we've ever seen. And I'm like, who's your influence type question? Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be Michael Jordan because of his age and all that. And he's like, no, it's T-Mac. And a huge percentage.
Yeah.
He's like, a lot of the guys my age, we look at T-Mac as that guy. And yeah, so it's weird how like every generation is going to have another. Like if you ask Kobe the question, it was going to be Michael.
Yeah.
But if you ask players like Buddy Hield,
right,
the biggest Kobe Bryant fan of all time, same thing, you know, De'Aaron Fox is a big Kobe guy, but De'Aaron Fox also huge Russell Westbrook guy.
Right.
So it's like these influences.
You guys, I talk about this often. I don't know if you guys, you know who the guy is right now for like this generation, so to speak.
Oh, let me guess. The guy right now for the generation of like,
I'd say
like,
high schoolers,
like Reese?
High schoolers, maybe. Well, I can definitely say rookies in the league.
Is it Ja?
No.
Who is it?
It's Paul George. There's many players.
Yes.
Brandon Miller.
Really?
Kion Anthony, all these. No, Paul George is that one. He the one.
Really?
Juju Watson say the same thing?
Juju said the same thing. Juju said, nah, Paul George is the one.
That's wild.
It's crazy.
But it is so smooth. Yeah, it is, but it isn't like he's almost a creative player, right? If you were on 2K, I'd be like, man, I want to be like 6'9, handle, can dunk, can shoot, can do all this stuff, lock
first
up.
First team
like
all defense.
Yeah, like he's. He's got all the measurables, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we actually see him and he's got these other issues where, you know, he gets flustered and all this other stuff. He can't stay healthy, but
ran into LeBron a couple times.
Yeah, hell of. Yeah, if you were creating a basketball player, probably look like Paul George.
I think the other thing with Paul George is he doesn't do anything that looks impossible.
Mm.
Like he just has a game that I think you can watch and go, oh, that move, I'm going to go out
to the park down the street. I'm gonna work on that move over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's all functional, and there's not a lot of grifting, and there's not a lot of, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we were talking about it earlier. We had a long discussion about, you know, the players that, you know, we think of that just they were robbed. Their careers were robbed because of injury.
I heard about that. Yeah.
And like Paul George is one of the few guys that actually like fought through, and like he had a catastrophic leg injury.
Yep.
And I remember watching him out on the court as he was coming back. He was in Sacramento in like February of that year, and his leg was still crooked. And I was like, what in the world? What is he doing out here shooting?
Old crooked leg out there.
Like, what is happening? Jeez. And man, sure enough, like he recovered where a guy like Gordon Hayward never recovered. A guy, you know, how many guys didn't recover? Mm-hmm. Paul George did, and yeah, impressive.
Yeah.
We have about 40 seconds. Mm. Who was the player for you growing up? Would you literally watch a basketball game and see a move and go, I'm just going to go work on that and try that?
It was really like, yeah, pretty much. But it was like everybody, you know, all these players, all these NBA players.
Sure.
But my guy was Allen Iverson. That's who my junior and senior year in high school and even freshman year in college, that's who I just patterned my game after. I was like, AI. I'm going to be AI. So.
See, like his influence on everything, totally missed.
Like, yep.
Cultural influence, everything.
1,000%. What do you guys got coming up?
We got to talk about the handshakes heard around the world. We're going to dissect that whole situation. And then we got some Kings questions. Football starting today, so we'll get a little bit into football. We've been having football on our sheet for about a week and a half. We'll finally get to it today.
Getting to it today. Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.